Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, my friends, to Cabali and Mack, presented by the Dan Heck Team. I'm Chris Mack. He's Mark Cabali. We are now just days away, mere days away, kaboom, from WrestleMania 41 in Las Vegas. And you still have a cold, it looks like, as we are 55 seconds into the show, and you've already wiped your nose. Is everything okay over there?
Yeah, you know, a little drainage going on right now.
I mean, better out of the nose than somewhere else, I guess.
You want me to blow my nose in the Kleenex and see what comes out?
Not particularly, no. I mean, you could look, but we're not interested in what it looks like.
Now, here's a question. Every time you blow your nose like that, do you automatically look in the Kleenex?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I do. Yeah. Don't you?
Yeah, of course I do.
Of course. Mr. Dry, Wet, Dry has to check on the status of whatever's coming out of his body.
Let me tell you, the invention of the old hanky, if it wasn't so disgusting, but it's, I mean, you're just folding up snot over snot over snot, but
I always thought that was disgusting. I had an uncle that carried one around, and I always thought it was weird that he would wipe his, he'd sneeze and snot all over this rag, and then he'd just fold it up and shove it back in his pocket.
It's very soft, you know, nice cotton feel to it.
Yeah, until it's all crusty with snot.
Then you throw it in the washer. That's why you have to do the fold.
Still, though, I mean, you're just folding over crusty snot and shoving it in your pocket. I think somebody came to that realization pretty early on, and it's why tissues were invented. Yeah. Tissues can be nice and soft, too.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, if you get caught, if you get hooked on the hanky, you're going to go to the hanky, especially if you're really sick and it's every 5 seconds.
I'm never going to carry a snot-covered rag around in my pocket. Is that what you're doing? Do you have an old man hanky?
No, I don't. I do have. I have those. What do you call those things when you cut the grass? The bandanas.
Bandanas.
They're similar, but it's not as soft.
No.
Get yourself a good hanky, and you'll never go back to the Kleenex.
I'm not carrying a crusty, snot-covered rag around in my pocket. Thank you very much.
Everything
you can be the
around.
First one to try it.
Everything comes around full circle.
How is that anything coming around full circle other than my snots coming back around to get on my hand hour later?
People, trends tend to come back around. The trend of using a hanky could be it.
Do you wear a pocket square when you wear a suit jacket?
No, because you shove that in there.
Yeah.
And I can never get it like laying flat, and you're supposed to make it, you know, should you do it flat? Should you do it like wrinkled up? You know, me and Josh Taylor, you know, great Josh Taylor.
Yes.
We always talk about the old pocket squares, although I never wear it. And apparently he's a very fashionista type person.
Oh, Josh loves the pocket square. Yeah.
Plus, he introduced me to something called the muslin cloth or something. I have no idea.
Yes, he's a big muslin cloth fan too, which is the thing you use to like wipe your shoes down, isn't it? Or is it to wipe the suit, the jacket? I don't know. This is way over my head. Somebody with great fashion sense, or at least interesting fashion sense, had something very interesting to say to Cam Hayward earlier this week. And we're going to let you hear that before the end of the show. Also, rumors abound about just how excited Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin might be about one prospect in particular, as we're now just 8 days ahead of the NFL draft as well. That was not Dan Heck's worst nightmare of an intro. Goth horse.
You want us to talk about Aaron Rodgers again?
Maybe.
Aaron Rodgers.
The Dan Heck team.
Come on, what are you doing?
Presenting Cabali and Mac. Go to heckteamhomes.com. H-A-E-C-K. Teamhomes. Heckteamhomes.com. Find your forever home. Find your first home. Sell a home that you've been looking to get out of for a while. Whatever it may be. Maybe you want to move into a fancy new neighborhood like Kaboom's. And there's at least one house I know of for sale in that fancy new neighborhood. Maybe you'd rather move into my neighborhood. You never know. Maybe you don't want to be anywhere near either one of us and you want to move you're looking out on the other side of town. Either way, totally cool. The Dan Heck team will take care of you. The key to your next door, heckteamhomes.com. Okay. So, yes, let's start with this. Jason wants to know if he's just spending way too much time on X or have the Steelers traded up to eighth in the first round. They are not trading up to eighth in the first round. But
unless they get Bo Callahan, they could give three first round picks, right? Isn't that how it works?
Omar Khan is in a parking lot in East Liberty right now talking to Art Rooney II about just that thought. If you follow the plot to Draft Day, the best in-flight movie ever, because you can doze off for an hour and not miss a goddamn thing.
I'm not dozing off anywhere anymore.
Why? Oh, yeah, Florida. Oh, is that a backhanded admission that you actually dozed off?
I didn't fall asleep. Mm-hmm. I'll accept it.
Mm-hmm. Just resting your eyes, right? That's what my grandparents used to say.
Resting my eyes. I was asleep.
And then all of a sudden that little snore thing happens and they wake up. They get
jolted. I did that yesterday before you showed up to hand me something. I was downstairs in my game room and I did a couple.
It's called sleep apnea. That's called you were dead for half a second and you woke back up.
I was like, I was sitting up. Just like I was watching Enigma and it was so boring or so freaky, I fell asleep. And
Enigma, like the Aaron Rodgers documentary?
Yeah, I was rewatching. Is that what I was watching? I don't know.
You don't even remember what you were watching. You were that involved in it.
I tend not to pay attention.
I actually thought the Aaron Rodgers documentary was kind of interesting, and it almost, in some ways, made me a little more empathetic towards the man. Speaking of people who could become more empathetic towards Mr. Rodgers, Dave Damashek, our good friend, Yinzer extraordinaire from the West Coast, will join us a little bit later in about 20 minutes or so.
Sheck.
I'm sure he'll have opinions, Sheck will, on Rodgers.
He's one of those guys you go, hey, Sheck, and 30 minutes later, he stops.
Yeah, so we might not get many words in the back half of the pod, but I value every single word Dave has to share with us.
I may actually take a stroll out the door and pick up the kid at the bus stop, and he'll still be talking as I come back.
It's entirely possible. Also, we may get a chance to talk about it. We may not. The Pirates just released a letter, finally an official response to the Bucco brick controversy. We'll let you see what Travis Williams and the Pirates had to say for themselves, maybe, if we get to it. But this is what has everybody talking about the Steelers maybe moving up to the eighth spot or having an eye for a certain player after he visited with the team last week. This is what Todd McShay had to say on his podcast yesterday about Mike Tomlin and Shedeur Sanders.
On Shedeur is, I am told.
That's not it. That's the Bucko brick letter. Why is it? This is what happens when you try to do things on the fly on your own, Kaboom. Look at that. I clicked the Todd McShay thing,
And dear Pirates fans,
you know, there it is. It's lying season and it's lying season and it's making its rounds just because. But I tend to trust where I'm getting this information. Mike Tomlin really likes Shador. If he's there at 21, Shador could very well be a Pittsburgh Steeler. And I don't, if Aaron Rodgers is there, I don't think one would have to do with the others. Two different elements to this. Aaron Rodgers is to win games now. Drafting Shador Sanders, if he's there at 21, would be to find.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get the solution at the most important position for the long term.
So that's Todd McShay on his podcast yesterday talking about Mike Tomlin and how much he likes Shador Sanders. And thanks to them for that video. But they could like Shador Sanders all they want. They're not getting all the way up to eighth in the first round. Yeah. Well, first of all, let's start with this. In my opinion, anyway, Shador Sanders is not worth all the capital you'd have to trade plus the eighth overall pick to go up there and get. I mean, no, sorry. That's not the dude you do it for.
So nothing's is really changed, right?
Not really.
I think we all can agree that if Shador Sanders gets to 21, you think hard and long about drafting him. But the like we've been saying for months now, or at least I seem like been saying for months, there's no way that they're getting there. To 21. There's no way. They're not even going to get to 15 or 16 to make it even an option to move up, nor should you. I mean, the Giants are having him in for a private workout. Man, you don't have guys in for private workouts unless you're taking him third overall.
Right.
Or at least contemplating taking him third overall. So, like, I'm sticking to it, man. These quarterbacks are off the board, the top three, with Sanders, Dart, Ward, by the time – New Orleans hits the clock or is off the clock.
Yeah, so, this is all smelling very smokes. This is all smelling very smokescreenish to me now that we've gone through the past couple weeks of everyone in the national media talking about how Shador Sanders is going to slide. That sounds like everyone in New York, to me anyway, this is just my interpretation of it. Take it for what it's worth, which could be garbage, absolute garbage. But this is the way I look at it. This is the Giants throwing out a smokescreen so that they can jump on Shador Sanders at three. And then the Saints probably end up jumping on Jackson Dart at nine. And to your point, yeah, all three are off the clock. Now, Milroe and Shuck have both been invited to the draft, I believe, in Green Bay.
Shuck, really?
I thought I heard Tyler Shuck had been invited this morning. I'll double check that. But either way.
Wait. Tyler Shuck, Mr. Brandon Whedon of the draft, is getting invited to Green Bay, and you as in we, as in fans,
people,
the top three quarterbacks are going to, one of them is going to fall to 21, but Tyler Shuck and Jalen Milroe going to Green Bay. Just open your eyes.
Maybe Shuck isn't yet. I swear I heard someone say that this morning, though. But he is another quarterback who the Giants are going to be working out, I guess, today or later this week in New York ahead of the draft.
Shocked if he's a first round. Come on.
Have you seen the clip of Shuck at the combine yet that is making the rounds this morning?
Yeah, no, but I don't care.
It's bad. It's real bad.
Oh, it's bad. I thought you were talking about a Malik Willis one where
no,
97 yards and Rich Eisen almost had a heart attack.
No,
unbelievable.
No, this is Tyler Shuck on air. Remember, everything's on air at the combine, getting happy feet and sidearming a ball like 10 yards ahead of a receiver in the middle of the field. It's bad. It's atrocious. So
he just shucked it up.
Exactly. And you literally hear the people who are there go, so I don't know how that video just made its way out now, but it did.
Well, somebody who's probably interested in Tyler Shuck.
Yeah, exactly. So look, the point is this, those top three are, I think I'm coming around to your point of view and your perspective on this. They're gone by the time we get to the 10th pick.
And not at that gone, point, gone to the point where you can't even move up to even contemplate getting them.
Well, and look, again, if you're drafting 21st overall and you do not have a second round pick available this year, I think I saw they have the Steelers, as far as draft capital goes, have the third least, you know, if you want to rank the picks that they have and the number of picks that they have, third least draft capital in this year's draft. They're not moving up. They're not moving up to eighth overall from 21st. And certainly if they did it for any of these quarterbacks, I think I would call them crazy. None of these quarterbacks, and I'm an avowed Jackson Dart fan at this point, but he's not even worth that, in my opinion. So I do increasingly feel, like I said the other day, like, Mark, this feels like they're going to just stay put at 21, take the defensive lineman that's available. Maybe both Harmon and Nolan are available, and they get to take their pick, which I think would probably be Harmon, but who knows? Take a defensive lineman and move on. Move on to Friday. Maybe see if there's an opportunity to move up, you know, into the late second, early third from where they're at now, which is mid third round, 83rd. See if they can work their way up into the mid to late 60s, maybe. If there's still a quarterback out there that they like, or a running back, I think, that they like. Because that's the other thing. And I don't know about placement in the draft, but like, they have to, I think, the more I think about it, and I this is sad, but I was actually laying there thinking about this last night.
Mock draft?
No, I didn't do any more mock drafts. That was a great idea and concept that I was going to do a mock draft every day leading up to the draft, but it's
in bed.
Yeah, it's just way too much work, to be honest, when I just want to go to sleep. But I was sitting there thinking about, like, you, I saw the squat video from Nick Chubb. Did you see that, by the way? Nick Chubb just back squatting like 550.
Honestly, that's a guy I would keep an eye on about May 3rd.
So that's what I was going to say. I would either jump on him now and remove the possibility, because if you really want a back who's going to be able to help Warren and Kenny G to any great extent,
yeah,
I don't know if there is one at 83. Like, that big wide gap from 21 to 83 is hamstringing them a good bit right now. And again, you got DK Metcalf for it, so I'm not complaining, but like, I'd love to see them get another running back. You're not getting like a Travion Henderson at 83, most likely, or maybe a Quinshon Judkins, or like, I don't know. So stay put at 83. Don't give up any more draft capital, whether it's this year's or next, and move up into the 60s and just take whatever is there, whatever is available, and go sign Nick Chubb. Do it now. Do it before the draft. Why? Yeah, I don't know why,
you
know, not. Why.
You know why? Because of the compensatory garbage. You have to – the compensatory selection process ends, I think, the Monday after the draft, so it doesn't count against them. So that's why these teams wait now for these veterans. I mean, I guess in theory you could cut somebody week one into the season and still be able to be eligible like that, but that's why they wait.
I mean, couldn't you also, in theory, come to some sort of a handshake agreement with somebody before that period and say, hey, listen, Nick, I'm sure other people will give you a call, but here's what we can do for you. If you can wait till the day after the draft.
Well, I'm sure that if they are interested in him, they've already contacted him. I mean, they still got Cordarrelle Patterson on the team, and I don't know where – he really would fit in right now. So I could see a swap, you know, a veteran running back for a veteran running back, sign one, dump the other one.
Yeah.
I still think that that's something you'll see right after the draft. I think they will add. I mean, I think there's no doubt that they'll add a veteran running back after the draft. It's just a matter of who.
I would love to see it be Nick Chubb, because then I think you can get away with not having to even worry about drafting a running back. Like our good friend Mark Malone, not really former Steelers quarterback Mark Malone, says, good Lord, just draft a back in rounds 4 to 7. That's the final day of the draft.
You're going to get me started.
I don't, what am I going to get you started on?
Well, because, you know, everybody says, well, Well, there's a ton of running backs. You could get one in the seventh round. Yeah, you can get one in the seventh round, but you got to miss on about 40 of them before you get to that point. You can go randomly pick out and say, oh, Willie Parker was an undrafted guy. Why can't you just find like that? But, okay, what about the 30 other guys picked before him that turned out to be bums? Sure, they're out there, but you got to pick the right one. So it's just not like, okay, we found one in the sixth round, just pick one. No, they have a bunch of sixth round picks. Doesn't mean they're going to be any good. So I always poo-poo on the fact that, well, you
shop the Sherwin-Williams winter sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
You just find one anywhere. No, you can't. You can't find. You can find one anywhere, but it's not like just, you know, fish in a barrel type of thing. Just grab one and, okay, I got one.
I just feel like
the right one.
Right. I just feel like there's multiple positions in this draft where, like, this is a tough draft to not have a second round pick. Like, this would be a great draft to have a couple seconds and a couple thirds. It's not a very deep draft. Like, the more I read about it, it's just not. You're going to get beyond the second and third round, and I don't know how much talent you're going to find at any position, honestly.
I wouldn't discount them getting back into the second round. I don't.
But with what? Well, just next year's picks,
because they know they're going to be replenished by compensatory picks. So you give up next year's third and the sixth. I don't know. I'm throwing numbers out there.
Right.
To move up into the second late two because you like somebody there. I mean, this is not, even though it's very complicated, this draft, it's really not in the fact of where the Steelers are looking at. I mean, first of all, they brought in 9 defensive tackles of their 30 visits, right? Mm-hmm. That means something. They got a 36-year-old, and they didn't touch anything else in defensive line on free agency. And they brought in 9 running backs. So where do you think that they're really interested in the first round then? I think they're very interested in always been defensive tackle. And I always thought it would be Derek Harmon. I still think it's going to be Derek Harmon. Mm-hmm. But if things get out of control and there's a run on defensive tackles – and there's a quality running back, I don't think Genty would ever get anywhere near that, then you have that option right there. I mean, they're telling you basically it's going to be a running back or a defensive lineman, and I think truly it's going to be a defensive lineman, but that's not the sexy thing to talk about. It's about Shedeur Sanders. It's about – I mean, how many wide receivers did they even bring in? We thought wide receivers would be a great first day pick. They brought in 4 wide receivers.
Well, the DK trade, I think, kind of pushed that idea to the wayside, right? Like, yeah, you could use another wide receiver, but there's no need to race out and do it or spend high-end draft capital on it when you've got Metcalf, Pickens, Austin, Roman Wilson.
What do you think? I'm just thinking out loud here. Kyle McCord. First of all, where do you think he might go? Do you think he's a second, third day pick?
Yeah.
I would like to have him as a guy that would be a
developmental third string.
A guy that's just a solid Landry Jones.
Mm.
I don't think he's a starter. I just don't.
No.
But he would be a guy that would be interested in maybe early third day pick. But I think I don't know where they're having him projected at, but I probably would imagine it would be before that.
Yeah, that's the problem, I think, with this quarterback class is that the overdrafting of the quarterbacks is going to trickle all the way down.
It's every draft overdrafting.
Well, it's every draft in the first round, but like some years, like was it the Pickett draft or was it – I can't remember. But there was a year where, you know, there's a bunch of overdrafting of quarterbacks early, and then there was a big gap. And, you know, the rest of the quarterbacks after the first 3 or 4 seemed to fall where they should have in the 5th, 6th, 7th round. This year feels like the whole class is going to get pushed up and overdrafted.
Well, because the Kenny draft was the other way. Kenny went, then it was a huge space to Desmond Ridder, right?
Well, yeah, that's right. Ridder went in the third? Did Ritter go in the
maybe early third? Third
yeah, there was a year recently where the quarterbacks, you had a few go early, and then you had a gap to and it felt like they were overdrafted, and then you had a gap to the rest of them going in like the fourth, fifth, and beyond. This year, it feels like everybody's going to just get pushed up. Which and again, I don't think any of them are worth it. Like Dart and Sanders might end up being starters. Dart, I think, will end up being better than Sanders. Cam Ward is the only one I would feel good about drafting in the first round, and yet he's going to go first overall. It's that whole thing we've talked about a million times about how people just they panic and draft quarterbacks, overdraft quarterbacks when they feel like they desperately need one. And you know what? If that's the way you want to do it, then by all means, go ahead and do it that way. But I don't like any of the guys in this draft once you get past like Cam Ward and Jackson Dart.
Because the Sanders is, people have so different views on him, from being a top three quarterback to a guy that shouldn't even be in the first round. Well, just such a huge stretch there of what people think of him.
Well, because I think people get caught up in thinking that, oh, he's Deion's kid, and maybe they haven't watched a ton of Colorado tape. And they don't realize that being Deion's kid doesn't necessarily make you Deion. Like, Shedeur Sanders with the ball beyond the line of scrimmage, kid ain't Lamar Jackson, right? Like, he's not Deion Sanders. He's not Josh Allen. Like, he's not picking up a bunch of yards on the ground with his feet. And then they get caught up in thinking, I've seen tons of people talk about his attitude problems. I've never gotten a huge whiff of attitude problems from it's because he's Deion's kid.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's all it is. People are completely translating all of Deion's characteristics on Shedeur.
Right? In his 1980s. You know what? Speaking of that, we should have asked Todd Haley about what that workout was with Deion, if he really ran like a 4.02 or whatever. It was a legit.
He did say it was crazy. That was probably in the heat of like Deion Sanders too legit to quit mania, when he ran with like a giant posse around him all the time, gold chains.
Hey, that made Atlanta much must watch back then. But
that's true. It did. Shedeur, him and Jerry Glanville.
But it doesn't help Shedeur, who's driving around in Bentleys and, you know, stuff like that too. So I'm guessing that's the perception.
But he's a 21, 22-year-old kid with money. If he wants to spend his money on a ridiculously nice car, so be it. My point is, I don't catch any whiff of like bad attitude, bad teammate, any kind of that crap. And I also don't catch nary a whiff of the athleticism his dad had. So couple that with the fact that his every ball that's outside the hashes and more than 15 yards down the field is a lollipop. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not trading up to get that guy.
You know, we've been on here for 25 minutes and nobody said Aaron Rodgers.
Look, but, way to ruin it.
Well, this is my point right now. What has Aaron Rodgers ever done to become a terrible person? What? Why? Because he's a little strange? You've never been in an NFL locker room if you think that Aaron Rodgers is the only strange cat in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. He's not out and out a bad teammate, I don't think. I guess he's just strange. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
Trust me, look at the media members. I've hung around a lot of them in my career. A lot of us are strange.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we just look at Aaron Rodgers. Oh, he's a bad guy. I mean, why? What did he do?
He's not a bad guy. That's not even – and I've said this before. I don't really give a crap about his personality. Like, he can be whatever he wants to be for personality-wise. It's the fact that, like, as a quarterback, he's just not what he used to be. And maybe he'll prove that wrong this year if he plays. And he'll be, you know, a full 2 years off of the Achilles. And we talk about catastrophic injuries like that. It takes 2 years to bounce back from them. And maybe we get one more great ride out of Aaron Rodgers and I'll be proven wrong. But I don't tend to think that, because he's been on the decline in my eyes since his final year in Green Bay. That's my issue. With Aaron Rodgers.
The MVP year? The back-to-back MVP years?
No. After that. You remember the final year in Green Bay?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was his worst year for picks in his career.
That's when I was sleeping during the Enigma part.
So, yeah, I mean, back to the draft, though. It increasingly feels like if ever there were a year. Sorry, I had to steer it away from Rodgers. We spent more than our
Tony's burner talking about Shamarco Thomas. you talk about a strange individual. There you go.
Shamarco Thomas. What a name. What a reference.
Well, he's a Syracuse guy, just like Pony, so.
Shamarco is? I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to talk plenty of Rodgers when Dave Damashek jumps on in a couple minutes, which is why I steered away from it back to the draft. They're going to take Derek Harmon if he's available at 21. If not, they'll take Walter Nolan. And then I think they end up just sitting around and waiting for the 83rd pick.
That's great.
And I have no problem with that. Nolan,
have some Logan Lee from last year, maybe some Dean Lowry. See what DeMarvin Leal can do. But you got some talent there. You know, I don't even know what I saw. I just think the Steelers' offensive line, because somebody mentioned that their offensive line's terrible.
I've seen multiple people mention that over the last couple of months.
They got a stud center,
Yeah.
I think their right tackle is going to be spectacular. I love Fatanu. Sam Mahler's just a solid, veteran, grizzled guy you need. Mason McCormick went from Division One Double A to starting 14 games as a mean SOB. Get Broderick Jones worked out and left tackle.
Yeah.
Cooking with some fire here.
Yeah, buddy. I'm not as down on their offensive line as some people seem to be. And, you know, like you pointed out on the defensive side, I don't even know if you mentioned Benton, like Keanu Benton, if he can fulfill the promise I think he had coming out of Wisconsin, add him into the mix with a still healthy Cam. And I don't know. The biggest question on defense now might be, is TJ going to get his extension or not? Speaking of those that support us here on Cabale and Mac, we mentioned the Dan Heck team earlier. Make sure you visit southwestgreenspa.com right now. Get your yard set up for the spring and summer. And no, I don't mean spraying all kinds of chemicals on it. I don't mean anything crazy like that, spending hundreds of dollars to water it every day during the summer and all the others mowing it every 2 days. No. Southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake, he's the man there, that Cabale and Mac sent you. And you get the best looking yard in the neighborhood, and you don't have to maintain it at all. It's an artificial lawn, but looks real, feels real, looks great. Best looking lawn in the neighborhood. You're not watering it. You're not mowing it. You're not spraying chemicals on it. The kids, the pets, everybody goes out and enjoys the yard for a change instead of spending all the time taking care of it or yelling at them to stay off of it because you just planted new grass. No, none of that. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. They will be sure to take care of you the same way they take care of us here on Cabale and Mac. We mentioned him, and there he is, our good friend Dave Damashek, under the pseudonym Ouija Thompson, which, you know, a couple of Steelers fans from the 80s have to appreciate. Dave, good morning.
What's up, Jens? Look at that, Cabale. He's not even taking a break. I see him scanning his phone. What's the latest, dude?
I was looking at
the airport. Where is he?
No, I was looking at my junk mail and some fake PayPal said I owe him money or something.
This is what he does during the show, Dave. This is what he does during the show.
Outrageous.
Hey, the level of disrespect knows no bounds.
Hey, Sheck is old as us, you know, so
you
went with the Ouija Thompson. So when you lined up playing Nerf football at the 5-yard line, did you just look at the quarterback and say, throw me a Ouija? Is that what you did?
As a matter of fact, that's literally what I would do. Or like, I think I was at the trigger, you know, you can't teach what's attached to this left shoulder here. A cannon is what I'm talking about.
You're a lefty.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That explains
so much.
I don't know what's
lefty sounds like a veiled shot. A little off center.
Wow. Listen, yeah, I did have some things that we had to figure out today, but you were just talking about it. And I do have to jump in and say, I really sincerely think, obviously QB league, quarterback matters and all that. But if you were to point at an X factor for the 2025 Steelers at non-QB, it's Brojo. If Broderick Jones gets anywhere close to pedigree and all of that, you could actually put lefty Dave Dameshek behind that O-line and expect to put up some decent numbers. I mean, that the biggest determinant in my book, more than who's coaching, what the weather is outside, who you're playing against, who your pass catchers are, the number one factor for whether or not a pro-level quarterback can get away with looking halfway decent is the five cats in front of him. If you keep him clean, you give him an extra beat or two, all the guys who are given the shot behind center are probably going to do okay if the guys in front of them are holding up. If Broderick Jones is close to dominant, which he's supposed to be, anything close to that, like you just said, the other four pieces should be good. So, you know, I don't think Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, or Dave Dameshek. I think good things. I don't know why people don't talk about that some more. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just you're already talking about.
You're not going to pull right into the parking spot, the front spot in the parking lot. Wait for the store to open, Sheck, and then not go directly to the aisle that you came to the store to shop at, sir.
He does the inser back in. Do you do that out in California?
Of course I do that. I back into my spaces and all of that. But the problem for me in life is, of course, I go there to get the one thing, but I can't help it. I seen some other stuff on the shelves. Yeah. I got to grab and check that and maybe do a little sample of before I purchase all that, you know.
Well, come on. You came to the store. So by all means, go to the aisle that you came to shop at and tell us what you think of Aaron Rodgers.
And away he goes.
That would be a specialty store. You couldn't go to a conventional. You couldn't just go to Giant Eagle. You got to go to some exotic.
You got to go to that weirdo head shop where they claimed they were just making glass pipes, right? You remember those? Back before weed was legal, kids, every college town or, you know, pretty much college towns, but lots of places, they had what was called the local head shop. And it would just, they would sell glass pipes for tobacco. And everybody would go there and buy their stuff, and then they'd smoke their weed in it, right? That's the kind of place you would go to find your Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and there was also, in days gone by, like the toll beyond loot was having to hang out at the guy's crib for 45 minutes. It's like,
tell him how much you like each other. Blanket.
Isn't this transactional? Like we have to get the note. Like I'm not down for that. I don't care what your vibes are.
You guys are talking about.
I don't know either. But listen, let's talk about what do I think about Aaron Rodgers. I think first of all, not Aaron Rodgers conversation. This Shadur thing. Like I mean, I know people like to fill airtime and everything, but what's the path? I don't care if Mike Tomlin likes Shadur because it's a moot point how much he likes him when there's no real path to him. Do you think Shadur Sanders isn't going to be gone in the first three picks? At worst, he'll be gone by the time the Saints are done making their picks. So what are we indulging that? Now, maybe the conversation has gotten a little stale about Aaron Rodgers, but so has Aaron Rodgers himself as a football player. He's a 42-year-old man. Deja vu. Remember a year ago at this time, Caboli does, because he came on Sheck's show and we talked about this. And I said,
bits.
No one else wants Russell Wilson. What evidence is there that the brain trust, whether it's Art Smith weighing in, but obviously the far more likely, Mike Tomlin likes him. Omar Khan executes the deal and everybody swoons. They paid nothing for him. Like, yeah, what? Why is that? Why were you able to get such a deal on the TJ Maxx bargain bin? Well, let's pat ourselves on the back for the steal we got in 36-year-old Russell Wilson, who, again, no one in the QB league outside of the New York Giants expressed interest, at least in maybe as a starter level guy. 1 year later, Russell Wilson is now going to be the starting quarterback of the Giants. And Deja Vu, the other New York quarterback, is now on the table. With zero evidence that anybody in the QB league wants him, at least as a starter, and the Steelers are going to roll forward with this lousy sequel that no one enjoyed the original of. And it's I said it before, I'll say it again. This is the Expendables all over again. Yeah, it's Sly. Mike Tomlin is now Sly Stallone trying to recruit other washed up actors to stick it to the industry to show we still got some life left. There will be no trophies at the end of this. There will be no Oscars or Lombardis or otherwise, but there is the chip on the shoulder to show we're still relevant to the world at large out there. Let's team up and shock the world. It all stinks. It's embarrassing is what now, it is.
Okay, put your GM hat on, Sheck.
Okay.
What do you do, quarterback? You have what's in front of you right now? You got Aaron Rodgers. You got Mason Rudolph. You got maybe a draft pick. What would they be able to do where you're like, yeah, this ain't bad for 2025? Or is that ship gone?
Well, it is gone. You're battling a little influenza there. You got a cold or something.
We had a 20-minute conversation about hankies.
Yeah, that's you know what? That's a more important question here, actually, Dave.
Yeah.
The old man hanky.
Weird.
It's weird. It's disgusting, isn't it? You're carrying around a rag of snot in your pocket all day.
Yes. In hindsight, the three of us really sat on the edge of a major change and upgrade for societal behavior. And yeah, when we were growing up, first of all, you never knew if an old man might, like, if you sneezed even or had a, had a sniffle, like they would offer it to you.
Yes.
Which you think is like spiritually generous, but you know, I like, oh, don't worry. It's been washed. I still don't want it's. It's like you ever go to a used, like you ever Goodwill or otherwise, like I draw the line at used socks. Shame the devil, the used underpants. Like who's so hard up to cover up their unmentionables that you're going to wear the underpants of another grown up man? That's disgusting to me. And then they might give you the hanky. No, thank you. And then I didn't even like it. My mom, shout out Mo Damashek in over there in Oakmont right now. She would Verona. She'd lick her thumb and then rub like I don't want your spit on me, old lady.
That's your mom. Hey, there's these new things now, and Mac probably knows about it. There's like community places like on Facebook or whatever, and they say, hey, you know, say you live in Jefferson. Somebody put the other day, hey, I got some extra feminine products. Come by and stop.
What, they just put it out on their porch?
Yes, they put it out on their porch.
What the hell? It's going to attract pets and not the kind of pets you want.
Talk about
Yeah, that's what I also used to think. Talk about going to stores and picking stuff up and now feminine products. That was an old bit that you used to hear too many comedians and sitcoms go to, which was like the embarrassment of having to go to the convenience store and grocery store to get feminine products and also to get condoms. Like, oh, it's so embarrassing to go there. It's like, hey, man, what are you telling the guy on the other side of the counter, man? Like, this guy's a player. He's a coxman. Yeah. Guess what this cat's about to get up into? Like, that's embarrassing to you? Isn't that the message you want to send to the world?
The now, self-checkout makes it easy now, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I know. This is one I want that interaction. I want to spread the good word. Like, you see this cat? Next stop.
Lucky you know. Town.
Right. That's it. Like, I don't go there, Mac, because I keep it classy.
Right.
Might be listening. I draw the line, man. Now, to answer your question quickly, Caboli, the ship already sailed, man. Obviously, what I wanted them to do is what you and I talked about literally 11 or 12 months ago, which is lean into Justin Fields. He is, and he was, and should have been the transitional QB with the room to, if he stuns the world, if he is capable of pulling off a Jalen Hurts type of feat in the, you know, the big rolling conversation the last 18 to 24 months is Andy Weidel is here. I mean, I said that the day they hired him. Clearly, their intent is to recreate Philadelphia. Now they brought the local guy back to the correct side of Pennsylvania to do the same trick. And so he has, if you really look at the draft, really where they've leaned in and hit more often than not with the looming possible exception of Brojo. they've not just leaned into drafting up at that position and building up on both sides of the line of scrimmage. They've actually hit on most of those picks too. And that's, I suspect that's all Andy Weidel's work. With that, and I think given that, like I said, if you give a guy a good offensive line in Arthur Smith's offense, it's kind of close to ripe if you drop in a nice running back from the college ranks to go along with Jaylen Warren. Now, that is to me a equation that succeeds at least on the level that last year and the year before that did with the Steelers. And then you pick your head up at the end of this. And by the way, the other thing I said is that was absolutely right. I was right every beat, every step of the way, Caboli. It summons 6-8 years ago when you and I were in lockstep and no one else knew what was going on with Le'Veon Bell except for Mark Caboli and dumb Dave Damashek out in Los Angeles telling you beat for beat what was going down. Everybody's like, that's not accurate. And it was exactly accurate. So it's been this past year with Russell Wilson and the Steelers and all the rest of it. And I said exactly the guaranteed dollar amount. You think somebody should pay Justin Fields that? Yeah, that's what you pay for an intermediate QB in the NFL. Did you see what the Vikings just paid Sam Darnold and what they did with Sam Darnold? If your roster is pretty solid, which I know for all the cynicism, the Steelers roster is not so bad. Yeah, they forgot to get a wide receiver all last offseason. They spent the entirety of it chasing Brandon Ayuk, who was busy grifting them to make more money in San Francisco. But nevertheless, the roster is in good shape if you can just drop a halfway capable quarterback in there. And who does that describe? Justin Fields, who they said goodbye to in favor of rolling with 36-year-old Russ. And to the cynics out there who say, my issue with Mike Tomlin is he is a high-end coach. Obviously, I don't think there is literally, maybe Andy Reid, you know, I maybe there are a name or two you could float out there to disprove what I'm saying, but I don't think there's any other head coach in the NFL who could keep those rosters with those quarterbacks in the playoff mix, adjacent at least to last week of the regular season, playing for a playoff spot with those quarterbacks besides Mike Tomlin. The other side of the coin is he's just not a QB whisperer. He doesn't have a great sense for who's the best. He didn't know 2 years ago that Mason Rudolph was the best option out of that trio with Trubisky and Pickett. And you know, we see this over and over again. And it was pretty clear mid-December of 2024, he still thought, I don't care what Mike Greenberg on ESPN or what Mark Caboli scratching out his pages for McAfee. I don't care what you guys think as much as if Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith and everybody else in that building was like, oh yeah, we can make some hay in these AFC playoffs with Russell Wilson. Like, well, then you have no idea what you're talking about. We need to take the keys away from you.
This is multiple times now, Dave, where he has botched the core. I mean, you could go all the way back to the year Ben's arm surgery took place when he dispatched Mason Rudolph after a bad game and a half in Ohio and decided to go to Duck Hodges for a few weeks, and Duck promptly threw 4 interceptions against the Buffalo Bills on a Sunday night and cost them a playoff spot. I mean, you're right. He is not a quarterback whisperer by any means. So, but maybe, and look, I am with you in that I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback anymore. It has nothing to do with his off-field proclivities for...
do you watch him? I mean, like, the answer is, do you watch? I mean, don't react to the name brand that you remember playing in big-time NFC playoff games or in that one Super Bowl 15 years ago. Reminder, he hasn't been to a Super Bowl since the Steelers were in a Super Bowl. So the answer, so the idea that he's the missing link is being overly faithful. Quickly, Mac, you mentioned that. One thing I always say, if Mason Rudolph doesn't get hurt against the Jets in that game, what is that, 2019, whatever year that is?
Yeah, your boy Le'Veon Bell played for the Jets that day. And the great Daniel LaRusso was in attendance of that game. I'll remember.
It all comes full circle, Jens. But if Rudolph doesn't get hurt in that, I think they win that game. And then I think they maybe go to the playoffs. And then what is the last half dozen years of Steelers history? Pretty fun to do. I was thinking about you, though, Caboli. I still am fascinated, Mac.
Mm-hmm.
The Daniel LaRusso.
Here we go.
Well, you brought it up, man. You want to talk about it? We can talk about it. It has to come up at least. There has to be somewhere on the internet that we're talking about this at least once a calendar year.
Don't you live real close to Encino or something?
Yes. When you see everywhere they go in Cobra Kai, it's like, oh, yeah, that's next door to us. Oh, yeah, there's our play. Yep, that's our thing. Like everywhere we go. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but I'm pretty sure you can go and see where Daniel LaRusso picks up his date. He goes up that high thing of stairs and everything. Yeah,
there's a website on that. Don't worry.
But, you know,
Have you been there already, Mark?
What's that?
Have you been there already during your trips to L.A.? You haven't taken the Cobra Kai tour?
I don't go out in L.A. Sorry.
I've invited him. He doesn't want to. I said, let's go, we could trip the light fantastic going all over L.A. Mac, you come out. We'll do a whole.
I live 5 minutes down the road from him now, Dave. He refuses to go out and do anything.
He's a strange man.
Have you seen Aaron like walking the beach near your house at all? I mean, you can't.
I don't live in such Tony neighborhoods as Aaron Rodgers out there walking on the beach, thinking about how he's going to give everybody on the team the measles. here's the thing is that's going to be a great team bonding thing. Yeah. When everybody has, that's really going to rally the troops.
Chicken pox before.
That'll be nice because, like, good luck. You want to tackle us, brownies, bungles? Yeah. You want to tackle us? We got the measles. Take your shot. But, like, I mean, take the other shot, too. But, like, so you don't get the meat. But if you don't, you're going to get the meat, you know.
Either way, anyway, there's a shot involved.
LaRusso, let's just keep in mind, he's not from Encino. He's from Jersey. His mom forces him, like, we got to do this. We got to move across the country here. So this is a kid who is, what, he's like a freshman, sophomore in high school. He's a Jersey kid. He doesn't want to be in L.A., right? He goes to the high school Halloween party, and his costume is he's a shower, which is a weird Halloween costume as a side note that we haven't really talked very much about.
He didn't want to be seen because he was getting bullied. Come on.
I mean, it's an interesting ploy, but of course, you know, the human condition requires that you would peek behind that. Like, who would do such a thing? Right. It's an interesting thing. Really, we should be happy that he didn't go nude because, like, a ne'er-do-well would do that. Like, what's behind the curtain? Oh, it's a nude person. Obviously, yeah. He's in the shower. That really should have been the angle. Instead, they put him in, or Daniel LaRusso is in a Chargers jersey. A Wes Chandler, specifically. A Wes Chandler jersey. Now, this movie's made in, like, what, 82, 83-ish. Wes Chandler had barely even gotten to San Diego. Wes Chandler, of course, who came into the Three River Stadium, young Dave Damashek, was in his usual seat out there in the wild card. I forget what they called it, like the super wild card or the super playoffs or something crazy.
It was
crazy.
The Super Bowl tournament that year.
That's what it was called, the Super Bowl tournament. And it was one of the great events ever. It was like the Chargers come in first moment of the game. They kick off to James Brooks, the great James Brooks, and he fumbles the ball and the Steelers jump on a touchdown, kick it back off to James Brooks. He fumbles it again and downs the ball at his own 1 yard line. The Steelers are in great shape. Dan Fouts and Kellen Winslow team up to rally the Chargers. And in the last gasp of dynastic hopes, Terry Bradshaw and company, stepped aside and the Chargers moved on. But Wes Chandler was on the field that day, but he had previously been with the Saints until like 81, 82 ish. So Daniel LaRusso, high school kid, is dressed as a shower, and underneath he has on the Wes Chandler jersey,
right?
In Los Angeles, but Wes Chandler played in San Diego. Why would this Jersey kid have a football jersey? The Rams are in his backyard. Where did he get a worn out Wes Chandler jersey in like 1983? And ultimately, does it make him a seer? Is he prescient somehow that the Chargers wound up playing in Los Angeles?
In LA.
Would you rather him wear a Merlin Olsen jersey?
That would have been Eric Dickerson territory at that point, I think. But
yeah, Eric Dickerson originally given number 25 and then said, I'm not trying to give you 25. He said, "I'm not signing if you do this."
His mother was poor, had to come out to the West Coast just to find a job. He got a hand-me-down at the secondhand store of a rich kid from Encino that was using his West Chandler jersey.
He didn't have a Carl Banks jersey sitting around from his time in Jersey. I mean,
yeah,
come
wait,
on.
Are you
a Mark Gastineau?
He got it out there.
Well,
all makes
right
sense.
To be accurate, it would be a Freeman McNeil, 24. Mm. It might be. It wouldn't be a Kenny O'Brien, too early. Richard Todd, yeah. Dick Todd, number 14 would maybe be his choice. Might go Klecko, 73. Yeah. Early age, I mean, Phil Sims would be probably about as good as you could do with the Giants until old 56 shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Joe, we've covered it all.
Is Daniel LaRusso a time traveler?
Well, don't even get him to start with Miyagi about can't even fix the pool.
I mean, that SOB, you know, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but but this character, he works. His job is like, you know, he's getting by, whatever, you know, no shame. So you're, you know, fixing up a rundown apartment building in the San Fernando Valley, whatever. You're making your way in the world, but at least bring some pride, some effort to the job. Instead, he's holed up in his little office cutting the bonsai trees on business hours. Hey man, you see the pool? It's hot in the valley. Maybe we need that pool. It's a literal cesspool under your watch.
Maybe
there's like 2.5 feet of poison water in the deep end. I can't use that pool, old man. Enough with the bonsai tree. That after dark. Meantime, he's sitting on this sweet little oasis nearby somewhere with a row of vintage cars that he could trade in for millions of dollars. But nope, he's not going to do that. Instead, he's gonna take some emotionally needy 14-year-old boy and force him to do slave work for him. It's a horrible thing, that movie,
maybe
really.
Maybe this apartment complex is owned by a guy like Bob Nutting and didn't allow him to fix the pool because he wouldn't pay for it.
So this is his ongoing protest. Hey, the big man won't give me the loot to do it right. I'm just going to bonsai tree it.
By the way, do you have a bucko brick? Well, in the dumpster.
Yeah, you don't have one anymore. Even if you did,
Sister Amy does.
Does she not?
My sister Amy does, and she's PO'd as anybody should be, of course. But listen, it's worth it. Look at the team just to be even. You know, no matter how strained the association is, we should all puff our chests out with pride that we're associated with that organization.
It's not going well over there on the North Shore these days. Another 8,000 showed up last night.
Think about that. Think about this is hyperbole. It sounds like hyperbole. I have floated this before. I'm going to bring it to the two of you now. Is this in fact? I know, oh man, the Buccos stink and the Pens again. Shout out Chris Letang.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, shout out Sidney Crosby. What a season. What another season. Talk about what we get to see, what we're lucky to see. But the Steelers, the state of the Steelers, Pitt football and basketball, all the rest of it. Is this, in fact, Weegee Thompson era or otherwise, the worst time in Pittsburgh sports of our lifetime? I have an answer for you to push back if you say yes, this is.
No, I would say, I don't know about you, Mark. I would say you're 83-ish to 85-ish territory. We're talking cocaine trials and Rod Scurry and the Pirate Parrot selling blow in the clubhouse.
Spirithead Paul Child.
Yeah, we're talking about Terry Bradshaw's right arm falling off, basically. We're talking about Bob Airy, no offense, Bibbs, Bob Airy as the best player on the team after being drafted first overall in 1983. They got to trade away Doug Bodger and Rick Kehoe. And they got a tank for Mario. So, no, 83 to 85 is really – it's dark, Dave, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel there until you tank that season at the Igloo and you score Mario, and then things slowly started to trend back up.
in 40
Kaboli,
years.
Darker time. Kaboli likes to pretend he doesn't care. That's his big bit that he loves to do. It's like, I don't care what happens with any teams in Pittsburgh. Like, what do I care? I'm a professional. Like,
I don't care. I mean, I care about.
You care.
You know what I care about? I care about spending $23 a month for the S&P 360 app, and it doesn't work.
All right, but it's okay for you to care about what happens with.
Come on.
LaRusso had been in L.A. for 4 minutes, and he already was a huge Chargers fan. They were 2 hours away, and he's like, hey, I'm in SoCal. I got to get behind the brand. Caboli's been in Pittsburgh his whole life. He has to pretend he doesn't care if the Pirates or Penguins are any good. Come on, Yins.
I don't care. I'm too old.
You don't care.
You have to tell yourself you don't care.
60 wins or 60 losses, you don't care. It doesn't change Caboli's life.
No.
I mean, honestly, as for the Steelers, it makes it a little more enjoyable when you go into a locker room and they're winning and there's actually people standing there.
Okay, that's a great question. Better for Caboli professionally if they're 6-11 or 11-6.
Probably 11-6 because there's actually people that will, like I said, will be in the locker room and be willing to talk to you. And well, you'll soon get an up close view of how Najee Harris talks to people. So there's nothing to make most polite of ways.
Another great indicator of the state of the Steelers on their way. The esteemed Steelers brand. Yeah. That everybody wants to be a part of. Brandon Ayuk didn't want to be a part of it. Justin Fields went to the Jets instead. And the guys who do leave the Steelers poop on the Steelers brand on their way out the door. These are great times. But I do want to say congratulations to Chris Mack because he has correctly identified the window the worst time. In fact, it's like 83-ish before the Penguins tank out to get 66 Lemieux. Bradshaw's hurt his elbow. Although the Pirates are the worst. I think, by the way, Mac, you're one of the few people who can weigh in on this, given your age. Rod Scurry, Rod Buskus, maybe the same guy.
Jesus, I'd never thought of it.
Yeah, think about it. Think about the way the same mustache, same city, same time, same aptitude for their chosen trade.
Opposite of each other. Could have just simply... My God.
I was always fascinated with the Rod Scurry. What would it be? 9-3 curveball.
It was a big hook.
Oh, I was always fascinated as a youth.
Listen to him. See that, Mac? Maybe that should be the campaign of this show is to help Caboli reconnect with his inner sports fan. Did you just hear it? Tried to sneak through there.
It's still in there, Dave. The man still has a heart. It's still there. It's just it's grown ice cold over the years.
Dude, I'm above all of it. I take naps when the head coach talks. I sit there right in front of him and I think that's how indifferent I am. Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody loves the Steelers. Everybody's got an opinion on them. Not me. I'm taking a nap. Nope. Let me know how it all works out.
Do I have to explain it to you again or no?
We've heard it enough.
What happened. My two eyes are working.
Yeah, Dave.
I can do it again. Watch. Does that look like I'm sleeping?
Pretty much,
my phone. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Dave, we're going to let you run. Thanks for the time this morning, pal. Dave, we'll have to talk again. Yeah,
I mean, don't show there, Sheck.
Three more hours. Then we go. Then we call it a day.
Where's Eddie Spaghetti at? We need to get him on.
Eddie Spaghetti, he's got his own mess to deal with. It's called Russell Wilson. He's a Giants fan.
Yikes. That's no good for Edward.
I'm talking about bad times. Sheck Show is me, Eddie Spaghetti, and Kevin Hench, who's a Bruins fan. Penguins, rags, bees. Yeah. What are the chances that you would do a show with three hockey fans of three different teams and all three miss the playoffs? That's where we are.
It's a bad year especially here in Pittsburgh. All right. Dave, we're going to let you run. But check out Sheck Show, by all means. It's on YouTube. It's on all your podcast platforms, especially on iTunes. Dave and Eddie Spaghetti and the whole crew will talk it up. and be probably a great deal more entertaining than Mark and I in doing so. But we appreciate the time, my friend, and we will have to catch up again soon once Aaron Rodgers has finally signed here in Pittsburgh. So I'm looking at like early to mid-August, if that's good with you.
Doesn't matter to me and Caboli. Just let us know how it goes.
Get down to the beach. Put one of those blankets over your shoulders.
Yeah.
And bring the camera, and I teach you how to discreetly do this.
Mm-hmm. That's your guy, man.
And send it on over. Tell Aaron to come on over.
Caboli approved. I listen, Aaron Caboli showing Rodgers his Pittsburgh is what needs to happen. Like that, like just an ongoing throughout through summer and autumn into winter time. Just another episode of Aaron and Caboli do Pittsburgh. You know, wouldn't that be? I would watch that.
You got to be a little bit careful of how you label that.
No. What happens.
We're not here to judge.
I'm not here to make any rules other than is the camera pointed at them? You do you, the two of you.
Something tells me that me and Aaron wouldn't I don't know. We might have different personalities, different senses of humor, maybe.
That's what makes the show. That's what would make the show. I don't think any question. You're aloof and disinterested, and he's curious about the world.
He's doing yoga and stuff, and I can't even get up off the floor if I sit down.
So makes you the perfect yoga partner.
Neither can he, really, let's be honest. Or at least he doesn't want to be on the floor. It first of all, would be like Woodstock on the banks of the Three Rivers. There's like nudity and wrapped in blankets and
mud people,
weird music and everything else. That would be a good show, but that is the final thought on Aaron before I go. This whole thing about like, oh, he's a weird guy. He's 42. Watch him play. He doesn't want to get hit. Of course he doesn't want to get hit. He's a 42-year-old human being. The idea that like, hey, this 22-year-old's real good, but like he's got happy feet. He's got to get comfortable with big human beings in close proximity to him. If we can solve that, he's going to be good. Like you don't get better at that fear. Your existential fears grow. And as you get into your 40s, remember Tom Brady? Remember Peyton Manning in their 40s? Remember Big Ben as he was coming up on it? No one wants to be taking big time shots. Aaron Rodgers is not immune from that. And in fact, you could make a case that if you want to bring in, like, he's peace and love and he's very sort of like in touch with it. Like, does that sound like a human being who wants to be getting hit by 300-pound men? Of course it's not.
No.
Look at the last 3 years. Forget the brand name and look at the reality of the last 3 years. This is not an answer to anything except more embarrassment. Anyway, that's what the happy note I wanted to leave you on.
Well, thanks.
But Caboli don't care, so what's the difference? He's in the cap room. He don't care either way.
Kenny Pickett was 25, and he didn't seem like he wanted to be hit by 300-pound men either.
Well, I agree with you about that. That was that was what Mason revealed. To me, nobody was bigger on
anything. Here? Mason Rudolph's here. That's the future.
The rewriting of history, I agreed with you. Randy Bauman agreed with you. Whoa. I think Bill Crawford, too.
Hates Mason, doesn't he?
I can't remember. To be honest, I should know. But I can't remember Mason, if it's Bauman who likes him and Ryan Crawford Switzer. Who doesn't. I said Mason Rudolph was the answer.
I was a Mason proponent as well, David.
Anyway, I said when you watch that Seattle game, I said, listen, nobody has been more supportive of eight and given him more rope and everything else. But how you solve a 25-year-old who clearly is altered and jarred by those guys too close to him, like, I think that's an unsolvable thing for an NFL quarterback. And if you can't deal with that, then you're nowhere. So I get all that. I got things to do, probably. Okay. As far as you know, I don't know. I got to go clean a pool at the apartment complex I'm working at these days.
Get a kid to wax those cars, Shaq.
If you know any, send them my way. Now that sounds creepy. All right.
Very. You can go now. Thank you, sir.
Goodbye.
It's great to talk to you.
Hey, Shaq.
Dave Damashek is the best. Shaq Show. Go check it out on all your podcasts.
Every time I've been on his show, he brings up the same damn pool Miyagi thing. So I knew he was going there, and I knew he was going to Chandler.
West it Chandler. Works. It works.
He just tries to, you know, tighten the screws on me and the Karate Kid. I know what he's just doing.
Well, he knows what hits for you, right? I mean, that's it. I mean,
it makes sense. It makes sense he was wearing Wes Chandler. The movie was made in 84. Wes Chandler came in 81. Somebody like Johnny Lawrence, a rich boy from the hills, was using it to work out, threw it away. He went to the
Goodwill
10 store, bought it used, wore it, thought it was cool because it was near Los Angeles. I mean, it makes sense.
That's fair. I never obsessed over the Wes Chandler jersey, but there were very good points about Miyagi that he made there that I think we'll have to discuss at length some other time, maybe during the spring and summer when there's not as much to talk about.
Imagine having like Ralph Macchio on.
All we can do is ask.
I don't even know how to even go about that. I would have no idea.
First thing we do is reach out to Britt Baker, DMD, since she was on the final season of Cobra Kai. Maybe see if she can come on. And then we rewind our way through the Karate Kidosphere, maybe, this spring and summer. We'll see what we can pull off. Speaking of wrestlers, though, since I brought up Britt Baker, Seth freaking Rollins. We're just, Thursday, 3 days from WrestleMania 41 in Vegas. Seth freaking Rollins was on, of all shows, Cam Hayward's Not Just Football podcast the other day.
So enjoying Rob.
And once again, it's giving me the wrong video. Why does it do that?
Blaming on the producer.
It must be. Let's try it again.
After this WrestleMania.
Look, my soul's always for sale, man. Look, if I look at the situation and it seems to me that the best course of action is to join with people that maybe the audience doesn't want me to join with, I will make the decision based on how I feel is the best direction for the company. If you look at my career, you can say what you want about my personal relationships, who I've betrayed, who I haven't betrayed, who I've asked for forgiveness from, whatever it may be. The crux of all my decisions has been, is this going to be the best thing for WWE and the best thing for our business as a whole? If I have to sacrifice being liked by our audience to do that, I will make that decision because I believe in the long run,
it's better for business, he believes. This,
he said that on Monday, didn't he?
You know what? This is all. That was a much clearer answer, though, than the monologue I thought that he gave on Raw earlier in the week. This is all turning toward Rock and Rollins somehow coming together at WrestleMania. The Rock comes out and turns on, it would effectively be turning on Roman Reigns, and assists Seth Rollins in winning the triple threat match on Saturday night. And then we find out that The Rock is some sort of puppet master behind the scenes for Rollins, for Cena, and he's trying to put together this merry little band of heels to take on all the biggest baby faces in the company. Here's, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it's a plausible story.
Here's what has to happen, though. If John Cena beats Cody Rhodes for the title, how do you feel that storyline between PLE and PLE if Cena's not there every week?
So have you seen
Cena's- need a mouthpiece? Like, you know, Rock's not going to be there, the final boss. Right. You know, Cena's not going to be there every week. Now, if you have somebody that fills in as a stable, you know, a part two, a guy in waiting in the wings to take over the John Cena role of face of the company, maybe it is Seth Rollins.
Maybe, but I don't know if you noticed or not, but Cena has been confirmed for more than a handful of dates post-WrestleMania.
I saw Triple H on, who is it, Andrew Schultz's podcast.
Okay.
He's talking about how the internet's so fake and it's, you know, it's not real life. And he knows that people really look at that a lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have people just looking at that and try to put things out there just to throw people off the scent. Okay, we know they're going to look at who's advertised or not. Let's put him up there. Then people will think this. It's hard. I don't really believe a lot of that stuff anymore. I think it's plants.
Maybe, but I'm looking at a list of dates. April 18th, SmackDown which makes sense. It's in Vegas on Friday. Raw the night after WrestleMania. Okay, again, in Vegas. Then the following SmackDown 4 days later. Then SmackDown again 2 weeks after that. Backlash the night after that. A Saturday night's main event 2 weeks after that. And then three or four dates in June as well. Cena's going to be around, I think, to lead up to SummerSlam.
Saying a good sign. The last day of first day of spring break or Easter break's here, and the Munchkins are just walked in the house.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was an early dismissal today, so the kids are home from school, getting geared up for WrestleMania on the weekend and the draft next week. Friday, very special guest. Speaking of WrestleMania, we'll have our good friend Justin Labar on.
First two-time
Kabbalion Mac guest this Friday. Justin Labar will join us.
Know, next week we might be pulling out a, you know, an interesting guest.
Oh, you cooking something up? Something
on the outskirts of WrestleMania. Maybe a local cat.
Oh, okay. Interesting. There's a couple different directions we could go there. Also, we're lining something up for our next giveaway from our friends at First and Goal Sports at South Hills Village. FirstandGoalSports.com. First and Goal Collectibles have hooked us up with an autographed Jerome Bettis jersey we gave away, an autographed Sidney Crosby photo plaque we gave away during the Four Nations face-off. And we've got something cooked up that I think fans of the show will like. I'll just put it that way. Well, maybe not all fans.
I think you'll like it.
Maybe, but I'm not eligible to win it. So hands off. Hands off the merchandise.
You know, maybe you could do a little wink, wink, nod, nod behind the back.
No, I don't do that. You're the one that's always trying to grift things out of. You're not eligible to win.
Who says winning?
Just outright out and out thievery. All right, Friday, we'll tell you more about that giveaway we got planned from First and Goal. Thanks to our friends as well at Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852. If you've got AC or furnace that needs to be serviced, you want to get it tuned up in the case of your air conditioning before the warm months hit, whatever it may be, Impact HVAC, PGH on Facebook. Tony and the guys will take care of you. And thanks again, as always, to the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, for presenting Kabbalion Mac. We'll do it again on Friday, preview WrestleMania, and get you a couple days closer to the NFL draft here on the show. Thank you.